Just before I get started, in the bulletin, there is a little thing in there about next Sunday night and a dessert fellowship after the evening service. That only happens if you all get busy and cook some stuff. Dig out your favorite recipe, forget your diets, and come on, let's enjoy a dessert fellowship time after the service next Sunday evening. The kitchen's not preparing stuff. You have to bring it. Okay? All right. So let me ask you. Have you been worshiping this morning? This is the place where you say yes or no. Have you been worshiping this morning? Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that if you were somewhere else this morning, you would have worshiped in the way that you have? No. Could you have worshiped somewhere else? Yes. Would you have worshiped the way that you have this morning? No. Would you have been encouraged in worship by others? No. Would you have been used by God to encourage others in worship? No. We're in a brief series looking at some things that we who are church members ought to be doing. And I know this is not the most popular series in the world. I will tell you that ever since my eyes opened this morning, that the devil has been telling me that I ought not preach this message today. When that happens, that's just the time I ought to preach it. It got so strong that somewhere along in the early part of this service, I started thinking about other scripture passages and other messages that I might just pull out of my head and preach. And I almost did that. I said, no, that's not what God wants. So what I want us to think about for a little bit today is worshiping with other people. And among the things that church people ought to do is worship with others. Look at the scripture, if you will, in Acts 2, 46 and 47. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those that were being saved. True worship, guys, flows from our hearts unto the throne of God in recognition of His magnificence. That's the best way I can state it. True worship is adoration, is submission, is exaltation, flowing from our heart unto the very throne of God because we are in the process and in the midst of recognizing His absolute magnificence and His glory and His honor. And while it is true that worship manifests itself in the individual believer, it is also true that worship is manifest when we come together and experience it with other people. Now, Peter had preached at Pentecost, and not long after that, the Jerusalem church began to gather regularly for corporate worship. Now, I've messed Stan all up because I've jumped around already two, three different places. But you're all right where you are. We just read one of the descriptions of the worship experience of the early church. Let's look at those verses for a minute. It says that they continued daily to gather together for worship. Wow. How about that? The early church got together every day to worship God, one with the other. They came together in a large assembly to worship God. They came together not because it was a scheduled time, not because they felt like they had to be there, they weren't obligated to be there. They came together to worship because they were motivated by the passion of the love of God through Jesus Christ in their hearts, and they had a desire to come together and to enjoy the worship experience together with God. Wow. In the early church, as we read the scripture, we find that the focus was on God. It wasn't on the individual. Church wasn't about me back then. It ought not be about me today. Now listen to this. They did not go to temple to have a worship experience. Do you have that? They did not go to temple to have a worship experience. They went to temple to experience God as they worshiped. There's a big difference. We go looking for some kind of experience. We go looking for some kind of thing. We go looking for something to happen to me. And we focus on me. They went to focus on God and to worship Him and have an experience that is born out of that worship. They wanted to be aware of the presence of God. And they wanted to share that awareness with other people. Let me ask you, at any point in our time together this morning, have you been aware of the presence of God? That's another one of those places where you can say yes or no. Yes. I hope so. Because if you haven't, you're missing out. Being aware of the presence of God. There have been times since we started this morning that I've been more aware than others. But it's been pretty good most of the way through. By the way, choir, what a blessing. Thank you for that blessing this morning. You see, God uses the joyful witness and the attitudes of believers to bring about an incredible result. We saw that happen in the early church. It says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those that were being saved. The people were motivated by their relationship with God. They were motivated by the magnificence of God. They were motivated by the love that they had for God and the love that God has for them. They were motivated to come together as they loved on one another and encouraged one another. And as they came together, they did so to honor God jointly. And as they honored God jointly, they were all strengthened and they were all encouraged. And God used their attitudes to bring others into that assembly. And as others came into that assembly, every day some of them got saved. Go figure. Attitudes? That makes a difference? Well, let's think. Is church going some kind of begrudging participation that I'm required to have, or is it a joyous commitment in your life? Is church going a joyous commitment? Does that mean I joyfully commit myself to being together with other believers for the glory of God? It has been my experience that in way too many churches, it seems that we have to beg people to attend. It has been my experience that for way too many Christians, all other activities have become mandatory or at least more important, while the worship service has become optional. It's something we do on Sunday mornings if we don't have anything else to do and we feel like putting our pants on. Listen to the last thing that Jesus said to the woman at the well. It's not on the board, but we see it in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. It says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such doth the Father seek to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Jesus, one of the things that Jesus is teaching us in that encounter with the woman at the well is that God the Father prioritizes worship. He thinks it is important. You see, Jesus said that our Father seeks, looks for, wants to encounter a specific kind of people that are worshiping him. So it's important to God that people worship him. What kind of people is that it's important that worship him? Well, it would be those that are willing to come and worship him in truth. Those that are willing to worship him under the leadership and the embodiment and the empowerment of the Spirit of God in their lives. God seeks his children to come to him under the leadership and join together in the Holy Spirit to honor him and to worship him. Wow. So do you think if worship is a priority for God, it ought to be a priority for us? I can't hear them rattle. It ought to be a priority. But there has been a shift to what we call the preference given driven church. Sometime in the late 20th century, so during most of our lifetimes, there has been a shift in attitude in the lives of church members. We have gone from an attitude of self-sacrificing service to God and worship of God to an attitude that is customer-focused, consumer-focused, self-serving. An attitude where the focus in so many of our churches now is not on God, but it's on entertaining and making the masses comfortable. I think the scripture identified this centuries ago as the tickling of the ear. You see, our church society today wants to go to church and be a spectator, just like they would if they went to a ball game. They want to watch. They want to root for the performer a little bit and go home without having to do anything any different. Oh, and by the way, they want to feel good while they're doing it. This isn't one of those feel-good services. One of our leading church growth researchers today in our country has listed some things that have actually been posted on his website about specific churches. Now, these aren't just made up things. He has actually got these off of his website that people have typed in about their home church. They've named their church. And in research that he's been doing, they've responded by making these comments. The music is not my style, not the kind I'm accustomed to hearing, and if they don't change things, I'm leaving. How many times have I heard that in my 40-some years of ministry? That brings us to wars over worship styles. Now, yeah, there are things that some of us like and others don't. I don't know whether any of you know the little worship chorus, Sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Okay? Real simple little worship chorus. We used to sing it in a church that I pastored. It talks about living my life for you. One of the ladies walked up, said, just, I love her, I love her, I loved her, I loved her. She's gone on now to be with the Lord. And she was so good in the ministry of that church. She walked up to me one day and said, I hope we don't ever sing that song again. I said, why? I don't like it. I said, well, what don't you like about it? I don't like it. It's not worshipful. And I said, have you ever really looked at the words? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, a dwelling place for you, tried and holy, or pure and holy, tried and true. what's not worshipful about that? It was the fact that we sang it three times in a row. That was our problem. Worship styles. While living in Seattle, my home church there, great group of people. Now, the target audience for that particular church was young technology families, people that would be employed with Boeing or Nintendo or Microsoft, people that their whole life is the computer world. Our worship leader grew up in South Alabama. You'd never know it today. Because he's adapted his style to work with the people that are the target of that church. That's what you have to do. You don't set in what you like. You set in what it takes to reach the masses. Wherever you are. Secondly, a second comment on his website was, I don't like the pastor's preaching. You definitely need to expect your pastor to preach from the Word of God. If that doesn't happen, one of the two of you needs to go, preferably him. But you know what? People want sermons to be a specific length. Don't be under this many minutes. But don't you dare go over that many minutes. Okay. Some people try to tell a preacher what subjects he can preach on and what subjects he can't. I will tell you, I had a former member of this church tell me one time many years ago, you cannot preach about that in this church. Guess what? That's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. I mean, you know, what is it? A lot of people, and guys, if this hits you, I'm sorry, but there's a problem there. A lot of people fight over what version of Scripture that they can use in a church. I've seen where churches were looking for a new pastor, and in the job description it said, reads only King James Bible. Why? Because that's the original? No, it says it right in the front of it. It's the authorized edition. Authorized by who? God? No. Authorized by King James, that pagan that was king of England in the 1700s. Authorized it to be translated for his people. Oh, well. I'm not comfortable in the worship services there. I can't see, it's too dark, the lights are too bright, the pianist wears dresses too short, the choir doesn't sing the way I want them to sing, it's too cold, it's too hot, and I don't like the color of the hymn books. Yeah. I can't hear the preacher, I can't hear the music. Music's too loud. The preacher screams all the time. Guys, these attitudes are about personal preferences. And it's hard to find God in those situations. We ought to be losing our lives and ourselves in the presence of Almighty God when we come to church. It ought to be all about Him and none about us. It's time to say, I will to corporate worship. It's time to say, I will to corporate worship. Things are going to be different in my world. Corporate worship is important to me. When we worship, we are focusing our hearts on God. When we are in corporate worship, we're focusing our hearts on God alongside of other believers. Wow. Do you know what is real and what is true? There is something powerful and even miraculous that takes place when believers unite together in worship about God, and it comes to being about God and not about me. When I start losing myself in the presence of God alongside of other people that are losing themselves in the presence of God, something wonderful begins to happen in my life and in the lives of those around me. How can we turn our focus away from ourselves and towards God? What can we do? Number one, I will. You got that part? I will attend worship services. That means I will make worship service a priority in my life. I don't care what my wife does. I don't care what my husband does. I don't care what my parents do or my grandparents do. I will make worship a priority. Worship service is a priority in my life. Now, that's simple enough, isn't it? But do you know what is real and what is true? It amazes me how much or how well we do something and how much it means to us and how much we enjoy it when it becomes a priority rather than a task. When I go to church because it's Sunday and I have to go to church, or because it's Sunday and my wife thinks I better go, or because it's Sunday and my husband's going to scream and holler if I don't go. When we go to church for those reasons, we got a problem. It's task-oriented. But we will enjoy it so much more if we're going because it has become a priority in my life. It is important to me. It is special for me. It is good for me. I enjoy it, and it honors God. Far too many lives today, anything and everything becomes an excuse for not attending worship services. I challenge you to see what happens in your own individual lives when you make worship, public worship, worship services, a priority. When you make a firm commitment that you will attend worship services at least weekly. Number two, I will pray before I attend worship service. Now, that might be the night before. That may be early on Sunday morning. I will pray. We have some guys that gather here every Sunday morning to pray early. And these guys are here early on Sunday morning. I will pray for my attitude. Got that? Saturday night, you start praying for Sunday morning church. First thing you need to pray about is your own attitude. I will pray for God to speak to me during that worship time. It will be the desire of my heart to hear from God. I will pray for others that God desires to attend in that place, in that time with me. And unless you live by yourself, I will pray for others in my family that Sunday morning is a quiet, peaceful time, and not let the devil get in there and get us all worked up and fighting with each other before we try to go to church. That's one of his prime target times. Especially if you're a preacher. Sunday mornings can be really difficult in a preacher's house, especially if they got kids. But I will pray. Number three, I will pray as I enter into the worship center. That means you've already prayed before you left home, either last night or early this morning. And now I'm going to pray as I enter into the worship center. Again, I'm going to pray for my own heart and my own attitude. Again, I'm going to pray for other believers that are here in the worship center with me. And I'm going to pray for unbelievers that they will come and that they will hear the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly, and that his spirit will convict them and draw them to salvation in Jesus Christ. And I will pray that there won't be any distractions going on. Lastly, I will pray that I will be a worshiper instead of a judge. It's one of my favorite times. It's almost Olympics time again. I love the Olympics. Winter or summer, I love to watch the Olympics and watch those young folks excel and gain the rewards of the fruit of their labors. But you know, too many times in church, we are like the Olympic judge. You know, a preacher may get a 7 while they worship leader gets an 8. And I'll give the people sitting over in this corner a 2 because they didn't respond very well. And that bunch back there ought to get a 10, but, you know, they kind of went overboard with it, so I'll give them a 9. Now, if you're in this category, I don't want to offend you, but, you know, my entire career, on occasion, that rare occasion when I may have been used of God to preach an especially good message, it's happened once or twice through the years, but so on occasion, somebody will walk by me on the way out of the church and take hold of my hand and say, "Preacher, I sure wish Charles had heard that." Or Paul, or Randy. I wonder how much we miss of what God wants to say to me when I'm thinking how much somebody else needs to hear what's being said. I understand your intention as you think that they might have got benefit out of that message. I understand that. But when I'm thinking about what somebody else's need is, I'm missing what God's trying to say to me. And the reality is, whether I catch it or not, whether I'm preaching or someone else is, every single time I am in a worship service, God has something specific to say to me. And sadly, I've missed a bunch of that. Because my mind would have been on other things instead of focused on what he's doing and what he's saying. So we must pray that we keep God in our focus. It's time for a corporate worship revolution. Time to make a commitment to the moment of gathered believers being a priority. Time to stop making worship an optional activity. Time to urge other members of the church family to honor God by making corporate worship a priority in their lives. Oh, by the way, if you're going to do that, make sure you're here when they get here. You know, if you're going to go every week for 6 weeks, you're on this guy, you need to be in church, you need to be in church, you need to be in church, and he comes to church and you ain't there. Duh. So we're to the place of asking a couple of questions. The first one is very simple. Will you, if you have not done so already, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, God loves you so much that he sent his Son, that if you would believe in him, that he would give you everlasting life, and that you would live with him for eternity. So if you've not made that commitment today, would you do it now? And others, will you make corporate worship a true priority in your life? Well, that becomes something that's really important to you. It is for some of you. Some of you wouldn't miss. You'd have to be dead and halfway buried to miss church. And I appreciate the heck out of that. But it honors God more than what it does to me. And you are the example and the witness of what he wants in our lives. And I thank you for being that. Would you pray with me? Father, in this moment, you have challenged us. You have called us to look at your word. You have called us to examine our hearts. And so I pray that we would respond to your Holy Spirit in a way that pleases you, in Jesus' name. Amen.